Welcome to Manage Your Tools. Today, the middleman test, chapter 2, feedback. The questions this cast answers are, how can I start giving more feedback? How do I feel about not getting feedback from my boss? Are my directs ready for feedback?
Hey folks, as places let us host public conferences, we're hosting them. Our one coming up quite soon is Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada, August 31st and September 1st. We're doing the EMC and the ECC. So if you want the highest level of training we provide, which is in person, and your company won't pop for it to bring us in to train a bunch of people, then if you're in Canada or in the Northwestern United States, or even if you're willing to fly, join us. Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, August 31st and September 1st, EMC and ECC. Hope to see you there.
So we're back. And I mean, I'm always excited to do this because it's so much fun. Also, though, one of my favorite casts is the chapter one for this cast, the middleman test, chapter one. And we're going to talk about that. I was really excited that we're recording this one because I feel like when we present, we talk a lot about how this test applies to so many things. And I'm excited for us to share more about that and maybe for more people to get to hear that original cast. And it's interesting that we bring up presenting because I think we hear when we present a lot and just in general, all of us at Manager Tools hear from managers all the time who love the guidance on one-on-ones and people implement one-on-ones and they say, oh, I can't imagine going back to not doing one-on-ones. And really the next step to effective management is to build upon the trust from one-on-ones and start giving more feedback.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen, right? It's like hitting a brick wall. I find so many managers get into one-on-ones and they love it and they would never go back, but they stop there. They don't get to the feedback part. In fact, I would suggest a lot of people come to our training now because they want a refresher to kick themselves in the behind to start giving feedback. Because we talk ourselves out of giving feedback. So we're here today to talk about one way to get over that. And the way is the employment of the middleman test. Ask yourself what you'd want from your manager. Mm-hmm. So today's cast, we've got two things in our outline. We're going to start by talking about the Manager Tools Middleman Test, which Kate mentioned there's a podcast for. Go back and listen to that one. That one will also help. And then we're going to talk about feedback as it pertains to the middleman test.
Mm-hmm. The middleman test is quite simple. Never tolerate from your directs that which you would not visit upon your own manager. Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't resist or refuse or choose not to comply to your own boss and their requests, then your direct's position is untenable and it's reasonable for you to insist. So essentially, if you're asking something of your directs that you wouldn't resist or refuse from your own manager, it's reasonable that you're asking it of your directs and that you insist that they engage with you in this behavior, system, process.
Whatever it may be.
Whatever exactly. It is. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And the reason that we call this the middleman test is because managers, for whatever reason, often forget that we are the middleman between our own bosses and our directs. Mm-hmm. When managers ask us in our trainings, in our forums, wherever it may be, about those recalcitrant directs' behaviors, we ask them if they would do that to their bosses. And every time you say that, they're like, oh my goodness, of course not. I would never do that to my manager.
They're horrified.
Right. Of course not. No, I would never do that. But my directs would. They definitely do. Right?
We see that all the time with things. Most recently, I think the thing that it came up with where I was talking to someone was deliverables. I said something about, well, if you want to increase, you know, visibility around that stuff, you could apply assigning attempt to assign deliverables with your directs and see if that works a little more effectively for you. And the person said, oh, my directs would never, they would never be okay with
that. Pushback, that would be micromanaging. I mean, they would just revolt.
Yeah. And then we actually applied fundamental man test in that specific conversation. I said, what would you do if your boss gave you your task with these words, you know, by date and time, send me X? And they said, well, that seems fine to me.
That's reasonable.
It doesn't bother me at all. And in fact, it actually is really helpful because it helps me prioritize things. And I said, okay, so then why is it okay for your directs I think a lot of it is fear of their response. And so we think,
yeah,
we're afraid of their response. And so we
totally,
we give ourselves that opt out option, but we would never, of course, do that to our own bosses. So then, you know, apply this middleman test. And so we ask people, when we say, would you do this to their boss, to your boss? And they say, no, we say, well, if you wouldn't do it to your boss, why wouldn't you?
Right. Why not?
Why wouldn't you? And it, of course, everyone says, well, it's not right. My boss could reasonably ask this of me. And of course, I'd agree because it's a reasonable request.
Right.
And suddenly the light goes on. Them. Mm-hmm. Immediately the person realizes, oh.
I get it.
If it works for one level of boss, it's reasonable to assume that it works with all levels of bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Including you, our listener.
Exactly. It applies to all of us. And far too many of us fail to, and for some of us, it's due to an unwillingness, but far too many of us fail to understand that our feelings as directs of our bosses are similar to our own directs' feelings about us. But it's the nature of being someone's manager that means it's probably far more likely than not that your directs feel exactly the same way you do as a direct.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, we employ the middleman test because the most likely outcome is that they feel exactly like you do.
Yeah, we've said it so many times in the past, or maybe it just feels like we've said it so many times, that if you can look up and see that it's true, the same is true when your directs are looking up at you.
Mm-hmm.
People are not, they're not fundamentally different from you. You're not fundamentally different from your manager.
Mm-mm.
And
exactly.
We didn't say it in the middleman test cast, which came out in 2017. We probably should have. The logic here works in reverse as well. So if you think of it, instead of, you know, thinking upwards, we can also think of it the other way. And what we'd say here is, do not deny to your directs that which you can reasonably expect from your boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know your boss owes you feedback and a whole lot more.
Yes.
And that means you owe it to your directs as well. It's part of your professional obligation to deliver feedback to your directs. And, you know, the aggregated behaviors of your directs are your results. And feedback on their results is how we improve.
Yeah, it's how we improve those results. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's how of it.
Yeah. I found too, and I think since we're talking about moving, but, you know, in that gap between one-on-ones and feedback, I think it's important to remember, y'all, that if you remember the feeling you got the first time that one-on-one started working for you, mm-hmm. if you remember that same thing will happen with feedback, that same feeling, that same kind of, it's not the exact same increase in terms of results and retention, but it is big enough that it will feel the way you remember one-on-ones feeling when you implemented them.
Absolutely.
So hopefully just another incentive for you to consider starting feedback, because so many people are sitting in that little trench.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this concept that I'm going to say utilization of the middleman test in reverse, if that makes sense, is common of all of our models, even one-on-ones before managers start. They're like, ooh, my directs might think I'm micromanaging. My directs might not want to do it this often. Okay, but if your manager wanted to meet with you every week for 30 minutes, would you want that? Oh, heck yes. Of course I want that. But my directs don't want this. We're going to talk today more specifically about feedback. We hesitate to give feedback because we think our directs don't want it. Yet, every time, and Kate can attest to this, we have gone into a conference room, and when we start our feedback conversation, we ask the group, if your manager could give you actionable feedback that you found useful, that was delivered in a kind and respectful way about the things you're doing well and the things that you're doing poorly, would you still want it? And everyone's hands shoot into the air. But we hesitate. And I mean, this goes further. It goes to our coaching model. Oh my gosh, that looks like micromanagement. My directs are going to think they're being micromanaged. If your boss did this, would they feel micromanaged? Would you feel micromanaged? My apologies. Like, no, I wouldn't. Delegation. It's like, oh my gosh, my directs are all going to say no. Like, okay, but if your manager asked you to help them with something, would you say no? Oh my gosh, of course not. But every time we do it, in every single case.
The economy is coming roaring back, and that means managers are stressed out. We probably don't have enough people in our roles. We're trying to hire. We're trying to get to our priorities. It might be time to convince your organization to do some training of a whole swath of managers. Effective manager conference, effective communicator conference, effective hiring manager conference. And all of those can be done either in person, depending upon your preference, or virtually as well. We encourage you to reach out to Maggie at manager-tools.com and talk to her about what we can do for you.
So, as it pertains to feedback, listen, if your boss isn't giving you feedback currently, is that what you want?
No, of course not.
Of course not. All the hands that we see in the air would suggest that that's not accurate. So then why are you not giving that same thing which your directs also want, which your boss isn't giving to you? It makes no sense. You want more. Your directs want more. Give it to them. Mm-hmm. It's your job.
Yeah. Don't visit upon them what you're uncomfortable
your boss
with
does to you.
From your manager. Mm-hmm. We've recently seen a LinkedIn poll of over 1,000 Wells Fargo employees. The question was, in which area do you wish your company invested more time and resources? And respondents answered 30% said professional development, 52% said train me for my next role, 7% said diversity and inclusion training, and 11% said advanced diverse leadership. So vast majority of the group said, train me for my next role. And we're not sharing this in order to diminish diversity and inclusion, just rather to highlight what employees want for their companies, and hence their manager, which is development. Directs want to grow. The generally held thinking on corporate professional development happens not in internal training or external schooling programs, but on the job learning and growth.
Yeah.
And that means we as managers are responsible for delivering it.
Exactly. So the question then becomes, if we're not going to give feedback, how then are we developing our directs? To Kate's point a moment earlier, that's what they want. How mm-hmm. are we doing it? And in addition, if we're not giving feedback, how can we justify that by saying it's not what our directs want?
Yeah, we can't.
Right.
Yeah, it's our professional duty to give feedback to our directs, even if it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Your boss may not be giving it to you, and we can break that cycle.
Yeah.
We're going to leave comfort to our bosses and do our duty to our directs. And listen, I think when we ask the question of like, why aren't we, when are you developing your directs? I always think to myself, gosh, when is their time? And the answer to some of this for some of y'all might be, if all you had to do was give them positive and negative feedback on the stuff that they were doing well or the stuff that they could improve upon, and that was development, doesn't that sound like the lowest kind of level of input that you could invest in?
So that's the first rung on the ladder.
So way to think of it is that feedback is the first step in starting development with your directs, and start there and then say to yourself, you know what, I am doing development and I am contributing to what people really want in their role. And we're doing our duty when we give feedback to our directs.
Absolutely. Now, guys, if you want to really easily test the middleman idea, it's simple. Just simply stop thanking or praising your directs at all. When they respond appropriately, don't thank them. Don't mention what they did well. Don't show appreciation. don't respond with thank you or any sort of appreciative note in your emails. Just accept work that meets or exceeds the standards completely without comment. If you need motivation, you can just think about all the other managers out there who justify this exact same behavior by saying, oh, if my people are doing their jobs, they don't need to be thanked or praised or given feedback. They did their job and they got paid. That's the deal. Your thank you was your paycheck. You're welcome. I don't want to lower standards by acknowledging that people are simply doing the standard expectations of their job every day. Mm.
Yeah, I dare you guys to do this and see how long it takes before one of your aware or, you know, awake directs.
Yeah, awake. Mm-hmm.
Asks you if everything's okay.
Yeah.
If you take away even the tiniest of positives, folks will notice. I mean, they know it's your job to comment on their work. They know it's your duty. It wouldn't surprise us if they start talking about it within hours of you trying it.
Yeah.
Like if you try this little experiment, wouldn't surprise us if they started talking about it almost immediately. In fact, we wouldn't even be surprised if the person who comes to you to ask if you're okay will mention to you directly, hey, we've all been talking about the fact that you've either had a change of mood or you're suddenly non-appreciative or...
Right. We all think you're mad at us.
Yeah.
That's usually what it is. Like, oh my gosh, I think somebody's mad at me. Oh, really? Yeah, they didn't say thank you. Oh my goodness, that happened to me too. And then now everyone's talking about it.
It's like when you send a text to a person who always sends a response and they don't respond. And I think people think, oh, no one would notice that subtlety. But I think they do. I think some people do.
Yeah. And people read into things that aren't even there. So things that are there, they will definitely pick up on.
Especially with that fear involved.
Exactly. Especially with that fear involved, that role power thing, mm-hmm. You're their boss. And guys, that's just how sensitive your directs are to how much feedback you give them about their work. Even in the absence of simple thank yous, small appreciative comments and praise, whether or not you're using or delivering actual positive and negative feedback, your removal of these small acknowledgments will be seen as an issue or cause for concern for your directs. And this just proves the idiocy of those managers who don't give positive feedback to folks for just doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure y'all have heard that before. We've heard that a lot. Well, they get a paycheck. That's their
thank you.
That's their positive. It's really sad, but
yeah, it is.
Again, let's turn it around as the middleman here. Wouldn't you notice if your boss suddenly stopped saying thank you or making appreciative comments when you do your job?
I would.
I notice even if people just don't send a message back. So I can't imagine what it would feel like if my boss didn't say, oh, thanks, or yeah, I got it, or, you know, good work here. Of course you would notice that.
Of course you would notice. And to go a step further, we know that there are some people that we're talking to right now that already fall into this category. That is, their boss currently doesn't do these simple things now. You've already noticed it, and we are willing to guarantee you do not like it.
Yeah.
So if you know that, you're already aware of how flawed this argument is.
Yeah. We're thinking of positive feedback as an extension of those thank yous or...
Yeah, just exactly.
Any positive comment. Now, we recommend you use the manager tools feedback model. It doesn't also have to be as formulaic as that. And we'll continue down the middleman logic here. I mean, is it really true that simple appreciation is a special case, right? And that performance feedback and development guidance, positive and negative, are really any different? I would argue no, that if we are thinking about the middleman test and if people are noticing a lack of small appreciations, that they would also, in the other direction, notice some increase and find value in that.
Mm-hmm.
even if you really do consider appreciation and simple praise to be a humane behavior and performance feedback to be somehow different, I would argue you can't really make a case for that.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, well, I like cake, but only without icing, or although that doesn't really work because I don't like icing. But if we're going to place value on positive comments and appreciation for people's efforts, then feedback, positive feedback, and performance communication also will help in these areas. And we're going to state that that value can be extended, and our assumption of that value is extended.
Mm-hmm. In fact, this is a small segue here, but I would almost suggest the opposite's true. That is, people don't like feeling as though they're being punished, and a lot of people don't love praise. A lot of people don't love too much excitability, I'm going to say, around those positives. But almost every person I've ever talked to and just said, if your manager said to you, hey, could I give you some feedback? When you start your meetings 2 minutes early, it just makes my life so much easier. Thank you. Would that be okay? And they're like, oh yeah, like that's not like a praise. That's just an acknowledgement that I did something. I'm like, yeah, okay.
It's appreciation.
It's an appreciation. It's more palatable many times than those simple thank yous because more thought goes into it, more preparation, more specificity. It's not just a blanket thank you or I appreciate it. It's actually some thought went into this.
Yeah,
so less, it's more palatable.
Right. It's less kudos and more just specific appreciation.
Exactly.
Yeah. It also, I think, feels like it's specific to me, right? It's
yeah.
Like, and that's part of our model, obviously.
Useful. It's usable. It's
if all you hear is good job. While that's great, and we don't suggest you stop doing that, it's really nice, too, to hear things about what you specifically are contributing that's positive, valued, you know, useful to the team.
Exactly. Absolutely. Now, we've often made mention of the golden rule and or versus the platinum rule.
Oh,
when
sorry.
When describe, yeah.
I got to go back for 1 second because
sure.
I think to, just to close out that whole thing about like performance feedback, y'all, praise is great. We like the specificity, appreciation, all that. And also it's your duty, but like, please don't force upon others. And this is kind of like how I made the mental leap from what we were just talking about to the golden and platinum rule. It's like, y'all, stop doing to your directs what you hate having done to you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry, I had to close out my train of thought before I lost it.
Yeah, totally. And along that vein, when we're looking at it, we're talking about the golden rule versus the platinum rule, which we typically use in our discussions around the DISC model when we're talking about understanding other people's behavioral tendencies. The golden rule says, do unto others that which you'd have them do unto you. So things like be kind, communicate, apologize when you've done wrong, help other people when they need it, thank other people when they help you. That's just great general guidance for every person in their day-to-day life.
It's almost like when I think of the golden and the platinum rule, there's the golden rule and it's like for kids. It's like, this is the first step. The first step is like, do these simple things. And you can choose to stay at that level or you can kind of like upgrade.
Exactly.
Like move on to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you guys are, y'all are willing to move into that next level because I think part of it is something that our professional life and organizational life demands of us. Organizational life and role power effective organizational life requires additional insights for us to be effective. It's kind of next level stuff. And that's when we think of the platinum rule.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The platinum rule teaches us to do unto others as they would have done unto them. We know, thanks to our, again, awareness of different behavioral tendencies, that, for example, you wouldn't get very far telling a dominant high D that, others think of her as not very much a team player. Because high Ds just value that less. Just like you wouldn't get very far telling a high C that he's not very friendly or as friendly as he could be. Mm-hmm. He just values being accurate and efficient more than friendliness. So it's kind of like the comment falls a bit on deaf ears. It's like, okay, sure. And it's not important to me. So not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And the same is true with the middleman test and feedback. You're direct. Do you want your boss to do unto you that which is done unto her? Which is probably no feedback.
No feedback.
Mm-hmm. No. You want your boss to do unto you as you would have done unto you. Mm-hmm. You want the feedback. You want to gain the knowledge. You want to know more about what you're doing well and what you should keep doing that way. You want to know more about where you could improve and what it is that could be tweaked to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And can you honestly then, if you want this feedback, if you want this information, deny to your directs the platinum rule and not give them any feedback just because you're uncomfortable?
Exactly. So first, let's ask ourselves, are you afraid of delivering feedback wrong? Many managers say that, oh my gosh, I'm afraid of doing it wrong. What if I stumble? I mean, I know the model, but I can trip on my words and it's awkward and uncomfortable. Folks, flip it around. What if your boss says, well, I don't give you feedback because I'm afraid of doing it wrong? We bet serious money here that you would say to them, boss, listen, I don't care. I just want to hear straightforward feedback about how I'm doing, good or bad. And I'd prefer to hear sooner rather than later. But if it's not perfect, it doesn't bother me one bit.
Yeah. Why does it need to be perfect? From my perspective, when my manager tells me, when my boss tells me things, I don't need the perfect words. If I did, we'd be in trouble because, you know, the way I hear it isn't even the way that a person says it, right? It's like that game of telephone. It's like, if you spend a lot of time crafting it to be like too perfect, like if you're worried about that, it's like, well, gosh, your directs, the way they hear it isn't exactly what you're saying anyway, right?
Right.
So perfection. While I'm all about it, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I wish I was capable of perfection. It's not something I expect from my manager, for them to be perfect.
Exactly.
And so I'm going to give myself a little bit of grace in that mindset of, I don't need my manager to be perfect when they do this. So perhaps it's my directs will be comfortable with me fumbling it a bit, not being exactly right with the right words, because I do want to know.
I'd rather know.
Yeah. Well, and you and I had something like this a couple of years ago. It's probably been, it was pre-pandemic. So
the good old days.
I was downloading some document from the website, like a roster or something that was coming out as a CSV. And I tell this story all the time because I remember I was always saving it as an Excel. Because even though I know what a CSV is, I've never used one because I don't upload a lot of data to the website.
Right.
And so I needed it as an Excel. So I remember I was like saving it for you as an Excel because you also used it. So I was like, well, I'll just save it as an Excel and that'll save Sarah a step. And I found out I'd been doing this for years. You need it as a CSV. And so I'd been actually making your life harder by causing you to have to go back and re-download it anyway. Would have been fine just to not even save it. But it's only because I didn't know that it made your life harder that I kept doing it. Like, I really believed that I was like saving you a step. And then you were like,
actually,
I don't, it's not helpful to me. And I remember just being like, oh gosh, if only I had known, right?
Like,
if it, just more information. And so that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about it being perfect, I would worry less about perfection and more about just delivering the information.
Exactly. Another one then that we hear, mm-hmm. ask yourself, are you afraid of hurting your direct's feelings? We hear that one a lot. But again, flip it around. What if your boss said to you, but I don't want to hurt your feelings with negative feedback, so I don't give it. Would you then be like, oh, thanks, boss. Oh, I totally appreciate it. I would rather you not give it to me. No.
No. I doubt it.
Of course you wouldn't.
Yeah. I think, and I think Sarah agrees that what you'd say is, actually, I'd rather hear it now and not perfectly and maybe, you know, run that risk. Sure, I'd like you to be as nice as possible, but gosh, let me worry about my feelings.
Right. I got this.
Don't mind. I can deal with that a lot better than sitting around wondering or finding out later. I would think of it as, gosh, I appreciate that you're interested in my feelings. And please don't let me fail or be less than the best or be less than I could be because you're worried about my feelings.
Exactly.
Because my feelings are going to be way more hurt if 6 months from now I find out that I didn't know I was doing it wrong and everybody knows but me because nobody wanted to hurt my feelings. I'd be it would be worse, I would find.
It would be worse now.
Yeah. And again, my feelings are my responsibility.
Right. And these are things that we as managers do. I mean, if you feel this way, if you have these thoughts, but I can't do it perfectly and I'm afraid of hurting their feelings, that makes you normal. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You're like everyone else. It's not like you're out there by yourself having these concerns that no one else is having. Everyone else is having the exact same concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But know that these concerns aren't a good reason to deprive your directs from the feedback that you wish you had from your manager. Because I got to say, it's all in your head. Mm-hmm. You're doing this to yourself. Your directs don't need these things from you. They just want the feedback and they forgive you in advance for it not being perfect and for coming out a little bit sharper than you intended for it.
Yeah. Spoiler, they already think you're not perfect.
Exactly. Spoiler alert. So when we as managers can put ourselves in the middle of those feedback conversations, it gives us no place to hide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you owe to the delivery of feedback to your directs, whether your boss is doing their duty to you or not.
Mm-hmm. What you want from your boss is what your directs want from you. Your boss not giving you feedback is not the culture of your organization. It's not. It's simple. It's just your boss not doing their job. So don't visit upon your directs the failure to do your duty just because your boss isn't doing hers.
Mm-hmm.
End the cycle of not doing.
Someone has to.
Yeah, it stops here.
It stops here.
End the cycle of not doing our duty around feedback. And let's start. Let's start giving feedback to our directs.
Agreed. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Sarah. That's all, folks. Thanks so much. And we'll see you back here next week with a new topic.
Bye, everybody.